We are now just 3 days away from Super Bowl 58, which might be as far as I've ever gotten without accidentally Googling for a superb owl by mistake. I'm Joe Lemire with SBJ's Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, February 8th. Holding down the fort on the East Coast while several of my colleagues are reporting on-site from Vegas. Or perhaps gallivanting from one Super Bowl party to the next. Maybe our office parlor game should be making Super Bowl prop bets on whether Team SBJ is heading to Gronk Beach, Shaq's Funhouse, or Guy Fieri's Flavortown tailgate. We'll get back to the Super Bowl in a minute, but first we'll go to the PGA Tour, where there's some clarity about what additional payments and equity the players will receive. Golf.com obtained a memo from Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan outlining a tier structure for allocating the minimum $1.5 billion pledged to the players following the investment from Strategic Sports Group, which is the consortium led by Fenway Sports Group. The players reportedly had a meeting on Tuesday night in Phoenix to hear this plan. The shares will be in PGA Tour Enterprises, the new for-profit vehicle created in the wake of the investment. To start with, there will be $930 million given to 193 players. Group 1, which consists of 36 of the top stars, will get $750 million, or about 80% of the total, keeping in mind that many of this group's constituents were those offered vast sums to defect to LIV Golf, but who spurned those advances and elected to remain with the PGA Tour. Their opportunity cost of staying was much greater, and this is a step toward making them close to whole. Group 2 will consist of 64 players receiving about $75 million. Group 3 is 57 players getting $30 million. And then Group 4 is a as-yet-undefined group of 36 foundational players, quote, who are instrumental to building the modern PGA Tour based on career performance, and they will split the final $75 million in the pot. The process of hashing out the details and finalizing which players belong to which tiers, obviously those ranked at the cusp of each tier, especially between number 36 in Group 1 and number 37 in Group 2, will see a seismic difference in their reward. And of that original $1.5 billion, roughly $600 million has not yet been earmarked, with the plan being for $100 million to be shared annually for at least the next 6 years. One of the obvious candidates for Group 1, I imagine, is Tiger Woods, who also made it official yesterday that he will return to competition in next week's Genesis Invitational, held at the Riviera Country Club in L.A., a tournament for which he is a host, but, incidentally, it doubles as his most elusive challenge, having played there more times, 12, without winning. A social media post from Tiger earlier this week also hinted about his new apparel venture that would be coming on Monday. The internet is full of guesses, seemingly educated based on others snooping of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website, that the line will be produced under the TaylorMade umbrella and be called Sunday Red. We'll see if that pans out. Speaking of player equity, our Ben Fisher has the story that NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell has spoken with NFL owners about the players receiving equity in the league. There's a stiff headwind that it's been less than a year since the league prohibited organizations from giving shares to employees who are not family members. But as Howell said, quote, I believe some things are inevitable, and I believe when you're talking about a thriving enterprise, and you want that to continue, and you want that to expand, cash is one thing, and equity is another. And why not have the benefit of both? Howell acknowledged the many obstacles of such a path, but it does reflect the growing tide toward athlete empowerment, with an eye toward not just sharing revenues, but ownership, as we are seeing with the PGA Tour. I'm sure other player unions are investigating the idea as well. While Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has a broad portfolio of brand deals and investments, I'll have a story about his relationship with Hyperice on SBJ's site tomorrow, his counterpart, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, is adding to his own sponsorship stable. Our marketing guru, Terry Lefton, has the story after speaking with Purdy's agency, Range Sports. Purdy recently crafted content for league sponsor FedEx and became the first active player to become a brand ambassador for Toyota since it gained NFL sponsorship rights. In Purdy's case, he struck a deal with the Bay Area Toyota Dealers Association during the season, which was then elevated to a national agreement. Purdy also showed veteran poise on the podium this week when he fielded a particularly asinine question that I won't repeat here. That was part of what's called Super Bowl Media Day, which of course is more of an entertainment spectacle than anything a media member would design for the sake of she or he doing a job. I first saw this firsthand in 2008 when I was at Sports Illustrated working on the commemorative issue for what could have been a New England Patriots 19-0 Super Bowl championship season. Incidentally, my brother was on site in Arizona working for the New York Daily News and helped out with a little bit of reporting, wanting to ask Tom Brady and the Patriots receiver some questions that would be fed into the story that I was writing. This was, mind you, when Tom Brady was fielding any number of ridiculous queries, not least of which was a marriage proposal. So when my brother asked him a question about actual football and X's and O's, Tom Brady gave him his undivided attention and tried to speak for as long as possible, probably realizing that the more he answered this question, the less he would have to answer the others. Unfortunately, of course, what that actual answer was is buried to history, as we all know how that Super Bowl ended, and no one ever read the story that was produced. A day after leading the charge to ban Fox and Warner Brothers Discovery together on a skinny sports-centric streaming bundle, which I ineloquently dubbed Sports Hulu yesterday, Disney reaffirmed its independent commitment to a standalone ESPN streaming product, circling August or September in 2025 as a likely launch date, with robust personalization features, CEO Bob Iger said on an earnings call. Disney surpassed its quarterly projections in part because it cut its streaming losses year over year pretty considerably. Iger touted Sports Hulu as providing consumers with more of the sports they want in a single place. It's important for us to serve the needs of consumers looking for a seamless way to access an aggregated collection of sports-centric content, including capturing fans moving away from the full cable and satellite bundle. Also importantly, Iger revealed a $1.5 billion investment in Epic Games, whose leading title is Fortnite, and whose games are built with Unreal Engine, Epic's real-time 3D creation tool. Unreal Engine has deep usage in sports away from gaming. For immersive experiences, some examples range from the Atlanta Braves' digital Truist Park, which was its foray into the metaverse a few years ago, to Fox Sports' AR camera angles during the Super Bowl a couple years back, and fan engagement activations such as Arsenal FC's virtual meet and greets. One other ESPN note from the earnings call, Alabama coaching legend Nick Saban is joining the network as an analyst, with expected contributions across College Game Day, the NFL Draft, and the new SEC broadcast rights deal that begins in the fall. As for the new streaming sports service, Fox Corp CEO Lachlan Murdoch spoke about it for the first time during his own quarterly earnings call. On a side note, Fox's revenue was down 8% due to lower ad sales, although much of that could be attributed to not having a World Cup and midterm elections in the quarter, as it had the previous Q4. As for the new streaming venture, Murdoch said, it is expected to be additive and not cannibalized from the existing pay TV ecosystem. Murdoch said it had studied the economics carefully and determined that the key market, the market that we will be driving toward, is currently outside the traditional pay TV bundle today, and there's tens of millions of them. So we are very confident that this is a very large market and a large opportunity that we can address without undermining the traditional bundle. Our Tom Friend reports that the NBA has found the titular sponsor for its in-season tournament, which will now be rebranded as the Emirates NBA Cup. As part of a broader partnership, Emirates logos and signage will be shown at other league events, beginning with All-Star festivities next week in Indianapolis. Earlier, I spoke of Fenway Sports Group's landmark investment into the PGA Tour. Its legacy business, the Fenway of Fenway Sports Group, made its own news yesterday about a pair of Red Sox documentaries that will hit Netflix in the coming year. One celebrates the 20th anniversary of the franchise's greatest moment, the 2004 season with a historic ALCS comeback against the Yankees and first World Series title in 86 years. And the other will embed cameras for a behind-the-scenes look at the 2024 club, which, I gotta tell ya, doesn't have a rosy on-field outlook. The NHL's Winter Classic is officially returning to Wrigley, where the Chicago Blackhawks will host the St. Louis Blues next season. Wrigley hosted one prior edition of the Winter Classic back on January 1st, 2009, which was the second year of the event. The Blackhawks hosted another Winter Classic in 2019, but that game was played at Notre Dame Stadium. Candace Parker re-signed with the Las Vegas Aces as they seek a three-peat. Parker, a two-time league MVP, helped the Aces get off to a 16-2 start before undergoing surgery to repair a fracture in her foot, a procedure that sidelined her for the rest of the season. And finally, organizers of the Paris Olympic Games unveiled their design for the medals that will be awarded at the Summer Games. Each is embedded with a small piece of the Eiffel Tower. Apparently, the Eiffel Tower has had what the AP described as, quote, a bit of rejuvenating surgery from time to time, which is not unlike the aging weekend warriors. I know it well. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll do this all again tomorrow.